Good to see all your beautiful smiling faces smiling. Greetings from Israel. And it's so good to be here. Okay. I would like to talk with you about a subject which is on my heart since long ago, okay? And this is the relationship between Torah observance and Yeshua. Simply because, you know, I spoke with the church, to a black church, Wednesday Eve, and there, of course, I did not speak about the Torah, or whether to keep it or not, or how to keep it. I spoke about Ruth, the Moabite. I spoke about Ruth kind of congregation, okay? How God, what kind of congregation or church would God want us to be in the latter days? And I spoke about two kind of churches, Ruth and Orpah. But you know, this message, Orpah is the other daughter-in-law, okay? Which means neck, by the way. She gave her neck and she left back to her God's little G. Remember the story of Ruth? So I elaborated on this a bit in the black church, okay? Provoking them, you know, challenging them to think and to how they should relate to Israel, okay? But with you, the message is not so much different, believe it or not. It's not so much difference, because when we talk about keeping Torah, the question is, how do we keep it? When we keep about Torah observant, messianic believer, whatever, Jew or Gentile, how do I recognize that we really believe and that he really cares for the Torah, he, she, yeah? And how do we recognize them as Torah observant messianics? Do we observe them because of their talit, beard, tzitzis? How do we really recognize that somebody is really a lover of the Torah? How many of you love the Torah? God's Torah, five books of Moses. Come on. How many of you think Yeshua loved it? Come on, don't be shy. How many of you think that the Torah was really an important part, an integral and important part in Yeshua's love, in Yeshua's life? I mean, no doubt, right? Now, how many of you know that Yeshua never spoke negatively about the Torah? The only things he spoke in relationship to the Torah were positive. Can I hear amen? So, how comes that most of his audience, well, most of the people who heard him, who were dressed with tzitzis, covered with talit, had big beards, kept the Torah, according at least to their understanding, till its very little jot and tittle, how comes they did not recognize him as the Messiah? How comes they not only not recognized him, but rebuked him as breaker of the Torah? Why? Was he dressed like a punky? Did he hold a glass of beer and a big cigar when he spoke about the Torah? For sure not. But how come he was not accepted? How come his message was not accepted? Because there are two levels of Torah observance. Yeshua and the rest. Whether they are Gentiles who think they are Jews or not, or Jews. There are two levels and two ways. Actually, it's not two levels, it's two different worlds in relationship to how you keep God's law. And I dare to say this sentence, and I will read it, so it will sound as I want it to sound, okay? Usually not a person of notes, but I dare claim, a person who claims to be a Torah observant, but yet he or she does not believe in Israel's Messiah, is not, big letters, N-O-T, capital, yeah? Is not a true student and observer of the Torah. Shall I repeat it? A person who claims to be a Torah observant, but yet he or she does not believe in Israel's Messiah, is not a true student or and observer of the Torah. And I dare to say the next sentence. And I'm promising you, some of you already know me, I'm not exactly tickling the ears of my audience. Usually, I put some people into some stress in my preaching. I'm a troublemaker. So I dare say the next one. Tzachi, I don't know if you will invite him anymore, but I dare say it again. I believe he's a true observer of Torah, by the way. So I believe he will invite me, but it doesn't matter really. It doesn't matter. I'm not the issue. The next one. The Torah is not. Again, the not, I spelled with capital letters. Okay? The Torah is not standing by itself as the very goal or destination. The Torah is the very means. And the word means, I also spell in capital letters. The Torah is the very means by which we get to the very goal, destination. And this is the faith, the redeeming faith in the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, the Son of the living God. The Torah is not by standing by itself. You can walk with the Torah 1,000 times in the worship. You can say all the blessings by heart. And if you do not believe in Yeshua and what he did for you, you are not an observant of the Torah. Forget about it. Or should I say you are observant like all those who rebuke Yeshua for breaking the Torah? What are you choosing today? What kind of Torah observers are you going to be today? I'm only in the beginning. I'm only in the introduction. Shaul, Rabbi Shaul, Paul, said in Galatians 3 that the Torah is a tutor which led us or point us to Messiah. Yeshua, in one occasion in John 5, just one chapter before, what we mentioned, what we read, is the Haftarah. He said, actually, let me read it to you. He said, for if you believed Moses, you would believe in me, for he, Moses, wrote about me. Again, I want to raise the question, how comes Torah observant people zealous to the Torah? Keep it to the jot and tittle. When Yeshua, the goal, the very destination, the one that the Torah points to, and how you believe those truths, how come that when he stands among the people, they don't recognize him? The opposite again. They rebuke him, they blame him, they condemn him, by the way, they put him on a cross as a breaker of the Torah. They use the Torah to put him on a cross. It's crazy. Do you agree with me? It's crazy. It's contradiction. Because Torah observant has nothing to do with the outer look. The outer look should be a reflection of your inner being. And if your inner being is like dead bones, stinky dead bones, but the outside is nice, beautifully washed, yeah? Whitewashed. You are not at all observant. Yeshua came to change us inside out and not outside inside. It's a big difference. I am still in my introduction. My beloved, we say Yeshua is the goal, right? Faith in him, yes or no? We say the Torah. If you keep it the right way, points you to him, right? It's interesting that Moses brings the people of Israel, carrying the Torah, all the way to the Jordan. But Moses, with the representation of the Torah, stays on the other side. Who is the one who brings him to the promised land? Joshua, Yeshua, God will save. Same root. Just a little side traction, yeah? Okay, my beloved, so let's go into a bit deeper water. My friends, the Torah is a tutor, and according to Yeshua's words, is all about Yeshua. Yes or no? So let me take you briefly through this week's Torah portion, so you don't need to worry about skipping the drash on the Torah. I'm going to give it now. Briefly, because there are even deeper words I want to get in with you today. You are okay? Can you?
Yes.
If, by the way, feel free to get up and do like this, you know. You know. Okay? I mean, feel free, you will not hurt my feelings. We go into deeper waters now. My beloved, if you have the attitude and the character of a true Torah observer, you are going to see Yeshua throughout the portion of the week today. Let's go briefly, very, very briefly. 1 Corinthians 10 says to Paul, or Shaul says in 1 Corinthians 10, that all that was written, which means all that the writings describe, that happened with the Israelites, our forefathers, was as an example for us. Read it yourself later on. 1 Corinthians 10, yeah? And he continues actually in this very chapter. He says, as they went and were baptized into Moses, right? And in the cloud, remember? So you are baptized into Yeshua, in the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. It's filled with, actually the story of the Exodus out of Egypt is the very pattern, it's the very base upon which the story of your salvation is based. Do you get it? The story of the salvation, the story of your salvation is based and patterned after the story of the Exodus. In one day in your life, you were fed up of Pharaoh. You were fed up of the Egyptians around you. Yeah? What did you do? God sent you a little Moses, or two Moses, whatever, yeah? And they told you about Yeshua, about the blood of the Lamb of Passover. You took it from by faith, and you were out of Egypt, right? And then you were baptized in the water, and into Yeshua, not in the church. Into the body, universal body of Yeshua, crossing the Red Sea. And since then, you are like me, walking in the wilderness to the promised land. One day we will get there. When Yeshua changes us, yeah, or when he comes. Okay? Well, when we die. Okay? Those are the options. So, this is picture number one. Foreshadow of Yeshua. Of course, we have the tree at Mara. I hope you are well educated in the portion. I'm talking about Exodus, right? Exodus 13, 17 through 17, 16. Yeah? The portion of the week, Beshalach, when he sent them. Yeah? They arrive to Mara. To the water of Mara, am I doing it briefly, forgive me, because there is yet another message connected. At Mara, the bitter waters, what is Moses instructed to do by God? Come on. Take a stick, a wood, throw it into the water. What kind of alakadabra? You know, kind of miracle, right? And the water became sweet. Hallelujah. It's abracadabra. No, it's not. Because if you read it in the Hebrew, Vayoreu etz. Vayoreu, it's not like in English. But he showed him a tree. He taught him. He instructed him on the cross. Because only the tree of Messiah makes the bitter of your life, bitter water of your life, into sweet water. And I go briefly. This is only the introduction. Elima. They went to a place called Elim. You remember? What did they find there? Come on, by the way, the water of Mara is the very first test in the wilderness. It's the very first test in the wilderness. Did you hear me? Which means, when you start to taste the bitter journey in the wilderness, remember, we are on our way to the promised land, what is the very thing you need to apply? The cross. You get it? Only the cross will heal you. And next is Elima or Elim. Let's go to Elim. And strangely, I mean, insignificant details the Torah gives us. There were 12 palms, or 12 springs there, and 70 palms. Come on. I mean, aren't you picky, Moses? Who needs to know if it was 69 or, you know, just tell us it was a nice, blessed place. Right? No! It's a picture of the 12 disciples. It's a picture of the 70 disciples, Yeshua, who brings you rest into your rest by their teaching, doctrines. Again, it's briefly. On each one of them, I could give you a sermon. Believe me. Okay? I just go on the surface. The manna, come on. Who disagrees with me that the manna is the picture of Yeshua?
Yeah.
We just read it. We just read it in John 6, right? I'm the bread and all this, yeah? By the way, the manna was not alone. There was also some flesh, some meat. It came in the shape of quails, right? In the evening, right? Morning and evening. Morning manna, evening quails. And morning and evening sacrifice, continual sacrifice. When Yeshua is being put on the cross, morning, 9 o'clock, according to the Gospel of Mark. When he is lowered from the cross, exactly when they sacrifice the next sacrifice, continuous sacrifice. He is covering, he is fulfilling everything. So manna for sure we know, yeah? Next picture, it's only in our portion, my friends. Moses wrote about me, remember? Don't get stuck in the manna of the Torah. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Right? There are two levels of Torah observance, my friends. The rock. Come on. Who can argue that the rock? I mean, don't argue with me. Argue with Paul. He says that the same spiritual rock which walks with us today, walks with them. Right? And gave them water. Nourishment. Sustenance. Yeah? And you know what I'm talking about. The rock. And of course, the war with Amalek. This is the last one I want to share with you. About the... Okay? The war of Amalek. Come on. What does it have to do with Yeshua? If you look at concordance, take, you know, check about Amalek. Amalek is a picture of sin. How does God defeat sin? Are you ready? Moses goes to the head, Rosh Hagifah, to the head, skull, called Golgotha. And over there he sits on the stone, which is the shepherd of Israel. He's so old, so they need to crucify him. And only when they lift up, crucify the flesh, who is winning down there in hell? Joshua. Beautiful pictures. And I could go on and on and on. Yeshua is there. Yeshua is in the Torah. And if you keep it without seeing him, it won't help you to study week after week after week after week after week and know all the Torah portions by heart. Even to pronounce them in Hebrew. Their names in Hebrew without sometimes understanding what it means. Yeah? My beloved, this won't help if you don't see Yeshua. And if it doesn't change your heart. If it doesn't make you glorify, praising him, who is the goal, not the Torah, you waste your time. Are we still awake? Hallelujah. The question is that we deal with it every day as Jewish Jews who believe in Yeshua. When you will say amen, is how in the world do we share the real meaning of the Torah with our Jewish families, you know, the nation of Israel. How in the world, Larry, can we explain all those things, all those beautiful pictures, foreshadow, you know, portraits of Yeshua to an Orthodox Jew? The same way that God did it with us. My beloved, there is no way to keep the Torah, which is understanding its real meaning, which means to keep the Torah, which will point us to Yeshua, no way without supernatural intervention. No way. It was not you who came to know Yeshua. You are not so bright like you think you are. It's not your PhD or toilet cleaning skills. My friends, it is God with his mercies. I have no idea why he chose me. But I trust him that he shows me out of the pit of the pit. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. Not such an easy man to live with. My friends, but I'm improving.
By God's grace.
Don't now conclude. And if you conclude, look at your mirror. The mirror of your heart, I meant. Some of you, never mind. Help me get concentrated. Yeah, focused. My beloved,
supernatural intervention. That's what we need.
And that's what I pray that it will happen today. Because it has all to do with the healing of your
soul and body.
And now we get to the message. Aren't you happy? Turn with me to John 5. John 5. Of course, a famous story. All of us know it. The miracle of Bethesda, right? And everybody loves this story. But how many of us really understand its significance and what it represents? Let's try and get into deep waters now. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and we don't know, by the way, which feast, but for sure it was, Tzachi, for sure it was one of the three pilgrimage feasts. How do I know it? Yeshua is a very, very Torah observant. He goes up to Jerusalem. He doesn't go every time. Actually, like Rami, your servant, Rami and Gabi, my wife, Yeshua loves the Galilee and prefers it much more than Jerusalem. I mean it. Out of 3.5 years of ministry, Yeshua, more than 3 years, spent in Galilee, near the quiet, still waters of the Sea of Galilee. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come with me on a tour. Jerusalem is completely, it's a different world. But to fulfill his duties, not just Torah duties, he goes up to Jerusalem. Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, and my beloved, now John the writer. The gospel starts to bore me to death. Because he gives me details that I don't know why. Insignificant details. For instance, he really bothers to give me the exact geographic location. Who cares? Get to the point, John. So he tells me, now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate. Okay, by the Sheep Gate. Okay, I recognize. By the way, Sheep Gate, one of the gates to the temple. The northern, northeastern gate of the Temple Mount. Okay? Okay, I already discovered some of my... Anyway. a pool, which is in Hebrew, which is called Bet Chesda, or a house of grace. Okay? Having now another insignificant detail. 5 porches. Who cares if it's 4, 3, 2.5, or 10.5? Tell us it had porches. Don't tell us it had porches. Who cares? Come on, John. What a waste of time. What a waste of space. 5 porches, okay. In there lay a great multitude of sick people. Oh, now you start to wake me up, John. Okay. Sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Oops. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. And I pray that today we will witness miracles here, exactly here. I speak to as the leader of this congregation, because I would like us to pray after I'm done. For people who are sick, I know at least one who really needs our prayer, and I will let him come alone, I will not embarrass him, at the end. So, was made well, when the angel came and stirred the water, okay, of any disease, whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there. Are you ready for another insignificant detail? Had infirmity 38 years. Come on, who cares? Tell us a long time. Why I need to know that it was 38 years? And where is it? Yeah. When Yeshua, verse 6, when Yeshua saw him lying there and knew that already he had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? This is the question I want to raise this morning, afternoon, whatever it is now, to you. Do you want to be made well today? I mean it. It's not a gimmick. Do you want to be made well? I believe that most of us want. And it's not just from physical sicknesses, you know, for whatever you're struggling with, okay? The sick man answered and said, and I love this answer. And guess what? It's a deep answer. Not like many preachers whom I bring, you know, to the pools of Bethesda on my tools. I'm a tool guy in profession, yeah? In Israel. All the preachers, Belin, all name them. The message they draw out of here is this stupid man who always blamed others for his condition. No, they miss all the message of this story, those preachers. They miss it altogether. He is an honest man. And he says a very honest, he answers with a very, very honest answer. He says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. You remember? It's only when the water is stirred up that it gets well, right? But while I'm, some of you catching now already the message, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Yeshua said to him, I love it. Yeshua said to him, paraphrased by me, stop thinking about the water. Let me stir up your life. Rise up and go. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that what? That day was the Shabbat. No, 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 Yeshua. Remember how he started? He is always blamed as break of the Sabbath. So you will see how stupid they are. Till today. Till today. Those who rebuke Yeshua for breaking the Sabbath, they have no... They can be with tzitzis, you know, fringes 2 kilometers, 2 miles long, and a beard 500 miles, okay? They are dummies. They don't observe the Torah. Because Yeshua actually does exactly what the Torah tells him to do on the Sabbath. So, that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And I know some Jews who do it till today. You should not do this in the church. How dare you smoke? How dare you take a sip of this wine? Don't you know Yeshua never had wine in his life? I'm sorry. He had wine and he had good wine. As a good Jew. But I wish that smoking, I hate smoking. I wish that, you know what? If God grants me that all the other sins which are hidden from your eyes are plucked out of me, tomorrow you're serving, not tomorrow, it's America. The stores are open, right? I'm going now and buy cigars and start to smoke. If God promised me that this will be my sin. Do you get it? Till today. It is a Sabbath. What are you doing taking your mat? It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. I am in verse 11. He answered them, you made me well, said to me. Take up your bed and walk. I love this man. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Yeshua had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. I love this. You know why? Yeshua, unlike the great healers of today, is not standing there to receive the honor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. You know, you're always welcome to come.
to our church. You know, those healing services are every. We believe all money.
Yeshua withdraws. He doesn't need your acceptance. Acceptance. Love. Approval. Goes.
You remember in the next chapter? John 6:6:6.
John 6:6:6.
Between chapter 6, verse 6:6.
From that day on, check me.
Many of his disciples, the part of him, did not walk with him anymore. Paraphrased by my bad English, okay? You can read it exactly there, okay?
My beloved, and Yeshua, it gets panicked.
You remember the next verse? John 6:6:7.
No, don't leave him out, please. I need your tithe, please. Don't leave my church, I beg you. I will change my doctrine. How does it sound? You don't believe in tongues? I will not speak in tongues anymore. Just stay. Nonsense! Yeshua says,
the door is open. Tzachi, you want to leave? Please.
Please, go! And Peter, a true observant, do you get it? A true observant.
Where shall we go? Words of life you have.
I don't care if it doesn't fit to my brain, to my PhD brain, but I know that you, what you say, no other man says. Because I know it steals my back, my guts. I know words of life are in you. I got sidetracked. Let's go back to the story.
Okay. Verse 14. Afterward, Yeshua found him where? In the temple. You know why in the temple? Remember I told you that John bothers to give us the geographical location? Those of you who've been with me or with other guys in Israel know that the sheep gate, you remember? Northeastern gate to the temple. And the pools of Bethesda still exist today, by the way, both. My friends, they are within 2 minutes walk. You know what? If you are a slow walker, 3.5 minutes.
Let us close distance.
Don't forget it. I'm not picking. Very, very close to the temple. So, where do you think was the first place the man who was healed went into?
That's where the Jews.
Good for me, Tzachi. Look, he carries something. Oh, he breaks the Sabbath. He told you to carry it now. Give out.
It's in the temple. 2 minutes walk from the pools of Bethesda. Let's go on. Where am I? Bring me back. Where am I? Okay. 14, thank you. After Yeshua found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What we can learn from here? Not every bad condition has to do with sin, but here it was.
Common sense. Otherwise he would not tell him sin no more.
Which means his condition for the last 38 years, was because 38 years ago, he committed quite an ugly sin. Did you hear it? His condition for the last 38 years is due to his sin. Sin no more. That's the worst thing that happened to you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Yeshua who made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Yeshua and sought to kill him because he had done those things on the Sabbath. But Yeshua answered them, my father has been working until now and I have been walking. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, did you hear it? Broke the Sabbath, yeah? But also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. My beloved, a beautiful story, right? Let's go into deep waters now. So let's deal with the general details. I mean, we don't really need to do it. We'll do it briefly. There is a pool called Bethesda, the house of grace, 2 minutes walk from a sheep gate, right? Which leads you into the temple. There are multitudes of sick, paralyzed, all the diseases here that you don't want. Yeah? They are laying in a pool in an area with 5 porches. Yes or no? Yeshua comes and picks on the only one, by the way, did you notice? He did not say, Larry, everybody get healed in my name. Boom, woo! They close the department. No! He just goes, where is the one with the 38 years?
You want to be made well, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. He heals him, he goes to the temple, jumping, yeah, oh, and they start to rebuke him, and they rebuke Yeshua, they even sought to kill him, etc., etc. Are we all together? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's go into deeper water now. My beloved, let's deal first of all with the Sabbath. Did really Yeshua break the Sabbath? If you read in Jeremiah, you can see that God really did forbid to carry yokes into the city of Jerusalem and there in the city of Jerusalem. Read it. I forgot exactly where, but you know, in Jeremiah. Okay? So he broke the Sabbath, right? Yep. Because if he did, he's not worthy to be your redeemer. If he did, even if break even little job and little, bye bye, you're not saved, my dear beloved people, and I'm not. So, come on, tell me, why are we commanded the 4th commandment in the 10th commandment? Yeah, to keep the Sabbath. Come on, Tzachi, tell me, why are we commanded to keep the Sabbath? I say, Tzachi. Ah, okay. Because what? Okay, you know what? Good. Okay, it is called God's commandment and we don't need to ask, okay? But you know, I'm a troublemaker. I like to ask all the time questions. Tell me why. Why were we commanded? By the way, it's not so complicated. Don't worry. It brings us back to where? Where was the Sabbath invented? We are commanded, my beloved, to keep the Sabbath because God kept it. Big revelation. Actually, the world, the only day which is named, titled, is the Shabbat. And it comes from? What time do you know? The Shabbat. Sitting, resting. Yeah, because back then they did not sit in front of a computer. At work. Back then they worked. You know, fishing, whatever it is. Yeah? My friends, hard labor. He rested on the Sabbath. Okay, let's go on. What was the crown of his creation? I mean, in the 6th day, remember 6 day he created everything? And on the Shabbat, he rested. Come on, what was the crown, the very crown of his creation? We, right?
Yeah.
Not we in French, but we. Right? My beloved, please do not, how about maybe the word? Do not skip what I'm going to say now, okay? Do not fall asleep. Later on you can fall asleep. He creates everything for us, yes or no, so far. Sin is not entered yet, right? There is a full harmony, Tzachi, between spiritual world and the physical, right? Full harmony in the garden called the Garden of Eden. Jerusalem! And the rabbis agree with me. I agree with the rabbis, who am I? You know, Garden of Eden is not Iraq. It's Jerusalem, and I can give you a separate sermon and show you black and white that the Garden of Eden is Jerusalem. And the rabbis always say that Jerusalem was the garden, the very garden, where the temple, where the threshing floor are of now.
Side traction, let's go back.
My beloved, before sin entered, God, I am God, and I walk with the Adam I created, and here is evil, actually, better here, yeah? And we walk, and we are at the end of the Friday, what you call Friday, the 6th day.
When you took it?
Wait. What happens on Friday Eve, or just before sundown?
Sabbath
enters, not at 6 a.m., right? Not 12 a.m. So, I just finished creating, and I said, wow, beautiful creation you are, Tzachi.
Let's now hold hands and go and rest.
Get it?
You see,
God created the Sabbath not only for himself. He wanted us in his eternal rest.
How do I know it's eternal? The Bible, I never found in the Bible a verse which says on Sunday it was God. And he started creating, you know? I mean, continuing his creation.
No! Finito, right? He finished his job, so we.
And we were just welcome to his rest. Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. My beloved, but something disturbed this rest.
See, men, humanity, are kicked out from the garden, and God starts to establish
timetable, prophetic timetable,
called the feast, to remind humanity of that first Sabbath.
Please come to me. Please come to me. I want fellowship with you. I want fellowship with you. I want to be reminded of this Sabbath where you were with me.
So you should keep every 7 days to remember.
So you should keep every 7 weeks and every 7 years and all the rest.
All on the number 7. All around the number 7 goes. Perfect.
Are you with me? My beloved, the Sabbath is a picture of the kingdom.
And do you think in the kingdom there will be a place for paralytics?
Demon-possessed? Any kind of... No! Yeshua fulfills, give the real meaning of the Sabbath. That's why Yeshua keeps healing on the Sabbath. And they are blinded to it. They don't... You know why? Because for them the Sabbath is reading the Siddur, God forbid not tearing the toilet paper, or making salad, not making salad, doing this, doing that, and missed altogether the meaning of the Sabbath, which is enjoyment, rest with your Father. Have a thank you that I can rest one day a week.
Preferably the Sabbath, yeah.
And just enjoy and remember which will come again, because first Adam goofed up, while second Adam had victory and sin. You understand what I mean? Sabbath is the very picture of what Yeshua did. But it's not yet the end. Are you still with me? Who is this man who was there for 38 years?
Why Yeshua picked him on only him? Because he is Israel. He is a representation of all the nation of Israel wandering for 38 years. Read your Bible. This is the only place in that entire Bible where the 38 years are mentioned. Where the people of Israel went out of Egypt, they sinned in the second year, not in the beginning.
They sinned when Moses sent the spies, remember?
10 gave a bad report and told them, you know what? Eat it. Eat what you cooked. They walked 38 years
due to their sin. And they do not get into the promised land. And there is a parallelism between the promised land and the Sabbath. If you don't believe me, read Hebrews 3 and 4. The promised land is like the Sabbath rest.
He says, they did not enter his rest because of disbelief. Let us not be like them. You remember?
Israel cannot enter the promised land because of disbelief, because of the sin. Like this man who was 2 minutes from the promised land, from God's presence, because of his sin. Yeshua comes and he says, it's the Sabbath.
You know what the Sabbath means, my friend? Let me show you. Get up and go into your Father's presence.
Mm-hmm. Do you get it? My friends, this is a man which represents the situation of Israel till today. Israelites, Jews, till today, they are walking around carrying the Torah
but they don't even notice that they are sick and lame and paralytics, and they are not welcome in God's presence because of their physical condition. Read the Torah. You know why they were outside the temple? Because they did not deserve going to God in their situation, in their condition. Do you get it? And my friends, don't miss it. They needed, they stayed where? In a five porches, five books of Moses. They were limited. The books of Moses, the water of the Torah, without being stirred up by an angelic visitation, didn't do anything to them. Where do you want to stay in your worship, my beloved? Do you want to stay in the pools of Bethesda? Grace, 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 but still limited, still under the Torah? Or do you want an angelic visitation, the Holy Spirit, to steal the Torah? Hopefully I did it to you a little bit. Steal the Torah, so the Torah will have meaning. So it will point you to the sheep gate. And who is the gate?
Yeshua.
Who is the shepherd? Yeshua. Do you see all this beautiful picture? In one little story. God wants us to leave Bethesda and go to his presence. But are we willing to admit that we are paralyzed? That we are poor in spirit? That we are actually sick and we need his help? If we are, blessed are those poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourning over the situation. Yeah? Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you. Because you are a candidate for the angelic visitation to see the water of the Torah. In Torah, all the world is good, which will point you to the gate and to the shepherd, which will take you together with him into Abba's presence, God's presence. Amen? How many of us want this experience? At least over one circumstance in their lives. So let's come. I don't want to be official, please.
Louis, can you play something?
Let's not be religion and not official. Come, 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 come over there.
I'm going to ask, also, just what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Rami and so John, if you come to the front, we're going to have different people here just to pray with you, whoever, you know, just come. Any person today. And I know every person here needs to be today healed from something, without exception. So just come. Just come. It's Louis.
Come, boy. Come, my friend, come.
And then I'd like to have also Carlos and Marshall also come together.
And I want to suggest something, my friend, if I can. Come, everybody, come here. Come here. Let's move those. We are a family. I would like, my friends, I know it will embarrass some of you, unless it's something really that you don't want to share with us, as a family, I would like each and every one of us to confess publicly. Again, if it embarrasses you, don't worry. We are not under the Torah. We are not under condemnation. Yeah? But if you are sick with any kind of sickness, say, Abba, please help. Just a second. Please help me. Yeah? Say it in your words. There is no abracadabra in Rami, Danieli, or Tzachi. Yeah? There's no super spiritual power. Okay? And then Tzachi, as the man whom God put over this congregation, you will stamp those prayers with a closing prayer. Sounds good? Please, come, and everybody, you don't need to share with us, share it with God, with an open, out to the open prayer, so we can say amen together with you and believe for your healing. Amen?